Yes, the question?
Dhanyavad Maharaj. The following question came out of a short conversation that me and Vaninath Prabhu had recently while he was here. We hear that Bhakti Yoga is the religion of the heart, but it seems that at the level of Vaidhi Bhakti, instead of living with your heart, you live exceptionally and exhaustingly with your head, being in constant decision-making process, figuring out what is favorable and what is unfavorable for bhakti. So when or at what moment our hearts are meant to be employed?
The poet says the deep heart's core. So heart is a general term. We know, even colloquially speaking, at least in English, they say things like, you know, put your heart into it, or his heart or her heart is not into it. But if we compare it to composing and say that raga bhakti is like, you know, pure, spontaneous, fresh, original composition. I'm talking about musically speaking. So to get to that stage, someone and a student might object in the beginning to studying music theory, practicing, what do you call it, rudimentary exercises, scales over and over and over again, thinking, what is the value of these things? But if you ever have studied a musical instrument, you find out usually pretty quickly that repeating certain exercises translates into skill. So gradually you acquire skills or skill sets. And when you add it all together, you know, theory, practice, at a particular stage of development, when the heart has something valuable and original and spontaneous to express, you'll have the skill sets to do that. So to, in a sense, object that this requires discipline, dedication, sacrifice. Like, even if someone is an expert, like Olympian, they're the people who are, in one sense, practicing the most. They're up at 4 a.m., the swimmers out at the pool, right? Or the ice skaters. This pursuit dictates their, when they go to bed, when they rise in the morning, it dictates the kind of diet they have, even their social life. It influences everything that they do. And if it's something, when we're talking about Olympians, at some point they will acknowledge how much, because it's known to them and the coaches and others pursuing the same thing, how much hardship there is in doing this. But they consider the goal so valuable that that's factored in. They don't, it's not, they're not filled with resentment or I didn't get a gold medal or I didn't medal, so therefore it was just a waste of time. I imagine there are a few people who've thought that, but most of them, when they're interviewed about, they'll say, you know, the so-called labor of love, right? They're not filled with resentment, even if they don't achieve the highest position. So, Guru Maharaj will point out, if this is the kind of dedication, self-sacrifice, and if you want, what were the words used? Struggle or...
Not struggling, but decision-making process.
No, but there was an adjective or... It's a never-ending or...
Exhausting. Exceptional.
All right, exhausting. Nothing. So, you know, parenting is exhausting. The parents that get together, you know, I think maybe, you know, this baby has to go. Because it's so exhausting being a parent. Yeah, me too. Somehow they soldier on and the child gradually grows and develops to a point of where they're bearable. And sometimes charming or cute for brief periods of time. Guru Maharaj, one of his examples is, well, finish that one. Well, you say, you know, pregnancy starts with conception, then different stages, it ends up with intense labor, pain, suffering, and then the prayojan. So Guru Maharaj said that if this type of self-sacrifice and dedication is required for other things, I mentioned Olympians because they're in the mind that means the people, the mind of the people.
Collective consciousness.
Collective consciousness, there you go. It's something we're familiar with or we hear about. Because every 4 years of the Summer Olympics, then so it's like every 2 years, because you get winter and summer and 4 year variations. So there's lots of interviews and things like that. I told the story of the girl from Izhevsk, Induleka's hometown. 15 years old, she won the gold medal. At one point, it was so... being separated from her parents and alienated and the demands of the coach and everything, she wanted to leave and the coach said, leave. I don't need you. And actually, she wasn't just being tough. There was another girl who's 17 or 18, she would have won. So when she said, I don't need you, it was really true. She said, I have this other one. She'll win, but you might be better than her, which turned out to be true, but you'll have to submit. What did Guru Maharaj say to Gurudev? Are you prepared to follow me and not your own mind? That's basically what she told that girl. And in the midst of crying and packing her bags and wanting to go, she got the inspiration to stay and won the gold medal. But Guru Maharaj will say, so this is the type of sacrifice required to be an Olympian or successful in business, right? In Silicon Valley, they're sleeping behind their desk and eating ramen noodles, which can be, you know, quite good if like Gopal spices them. But you know what ramen noodles is? It's a little block. They have them here in Thailand, but students particularly, you know, you get this container, pour in hot water, wait 5 minutes, you know. But it's usually the fare of those who have no money or very little or are struggling, but they're doing that and not renting a place. They're sleeping behind their desk because they believe in something. And very often, it's understood in angel investing and things like that, that they're not successful on their first try. So the more experienced angel investors, they'll say, like, we're investing in these people. Maybe their first project won't result in the killer app or be tremendously successful, but we believe in them in the long term. They're going to come up with something. That's the patience, the guru with the disciples, believing in them. Gurudev would very humbly say how much Guru Maharaj believed in him and what was his potential capacity, etc. That it was why Gurudev said he tolerated us, or me, more specifically, in saying Guru Maharaj was so merciful and tolerant towards me, then how can I not turn around and be merciful, tolerant and merciful with those who are in connection with me? But Guru Maharaj's point, what he's alluding to, he's saying, it's not that it requires less than or just equal to that dedication. Because what is the end result? Not a gold medal. The finite captures the infinite. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. Impossible of impossible things. The finite captures the infinite. So Guru Maharaj is saying, so what level of dedication would be appropriate for that? Equal to or perhaps more? It's not fair. It's not equitable. Even if the finite sacrifices every atom of their being, you could say on just an equitable assessment of things that that's not fair. Why not just give, 10 times the finite? Or 100 times? Or how about you sacrifice and then you get a million times finite back? It's not even that. No, you get the infinite in return. It's almost frightening in a sense. Guru Maharaj say, who can be entrusted with, what finite can be entrusted with controlling the infinite? Right? We're suspicious, we have democracy because we're like, one man will be in charge of everything and everyone, But it's kind of ironic. Instead of having a king, you just have... I don't want to get into anything political, I'm sure. Whatever imagery comes to your mind, I'm sorry for that. But in principle, that was the idea. Being suspicious, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Unless you're the absolute. I say, well, you're obviously not. Yeah, neither are you. But that doesn't mean there is no absolute. So absolute, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, absolutely. Unless you're the absolute. So Hegel, as Guru would say, Hegel is a good man. So, reality is for itself and by itself. Saraswati Thakur, the transcendental autocrat. We generally don't like autocrats unless they're transcendental. The transcendental autocrat, despot. Absolute despotism, if you're the absolute, that's a good thing. Right? That's why Guru would say, why should we, autocrat, despot, and liar, why should we check his autocracy? We become losers. But if we think he's someone like us, then we think we need to impose human restraint and parameters on the absolute, which is foolish. And insulting. It's like the infinite is going to be called into the court of the finite and interrogated. Where were you on the night of the Big Bang? Playing. So, what finite can be entrusted with controlling the infinite? We get nervous of them controlling too much finite, whole lot of finite. And Gaura said, but like Yashoda, he said, not that we shall think she is finite, but just for the sake of example, she can be entrusted. On account of her pure love and affection as we approach the month of Damodar. Yashoda bhyo lukala dabamanam param ristam achantato drutya gopya. Namo. Namam Iswaram Sachidananda Rupam Lasakundalam. Yashoda Bhyo Lukala Davamanam Paramristam Atyantato Drutya Gopya. Kunti. Gopyarade Twai Kritaga Siddhama Tabad Yate Dushashu Kalilanjana Sambramaksham. You're saying there's a vision that is intoxicating her and astonishing her. This is how you know you're dealing with real devotees, not feigning. Voyeuristically envisioning themselves as super servitors, right? Making ostentatious display of achievement. Rather, what does she say? That the gopi Yashoda, Krishna's mother, Krishna is naughty. What about a naughty absolute? I mean, like, you know, the naughty absolute. Can Einstein conceive a naughty absolute? Get Einstein, Newton, and Stephen Hawking together and see if they can conceive a naughty absolute. So, Kunti says, she's meditating on this pastime. What does she say? That Krishna, he's done something wrong, he's running from his mother, and she's running after him with a stick from a tree to like whip him. And when Krishna's running, we know it's still there in India, but very prominent at that time, that they put kajal on the children, like eye shadow, I guess you call it. Looks kind of emo. Before there was emo, like heavy, you know, like almost like. What's that animal that has the circles?
Panda.
Panda, that's one. It's another one, the raccoon. There's, a, you know, where like, but panda, like panda makeup. And Krishna's running and he's crying and the tears are mixing with the makeup and coming down his face. But he has this beautiful lotus face, and then that contrasted with the black Kajal streams, and he's running, and he's afraid. Kunti's saying, this just astonishes me and has captured my consciousness. How is this possible? She's not only controlling the infant, he's running from her. And she will catch him. I don't know of any recorded instances where she actually, but she is showing this, stick. So she can be in trouble. The gopis. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Krishna is the property of Radharani and her girlfriends. Think about that. They own and control Krishna. Like you see here, copyright, registered, trademark, stamped on the bottom of Krishna's lotus feet, Copyright, trademark owned, Brajagopi, Radharani and Brajagopis, Incorporated. So, if we consider from time to time, really, not to become complacent, but to consider what is the plane of our aspiration by the grace of our Guru Varga, that they have connected us with somehow, then we'll realize or feel how little we're being asked. They're told in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Ye yata mam prapadyante tangstateva bhajamyaham." As you approach me, surrender to me, I reciprocate that. We were talking about that the other day. So Gurudev said, quoting one of Guru Maharaj's godbrothers about devotees, because we use that word in a broad sense, he said, but 5% devotee, 10%, 50%, 75%, 95%, nashta prayesha badreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke, Bhaktir Bhavati Naitstiki. Some very encouraging words in the beginning of the Bhagavatam saying that there's a tipping point. You don't have to achieve 100, because, like many things. You know what the tipping point is? That means, because it's like this, but at a certain point, one more drop and the whole thing goes very quickly. It's sending us a message that it's something like that. And we're cautioned at the same time, someone right on the, can still be distracted. That's why those stories are there of Jadabharat and others. At the last, they're almost there, and then distracted somehow by something in this world. How cautious one has to be. But Krishna's giving that promise. But in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, he lays the groundwork for breaking his promise. By saying, mukti didati karhichit smana bhakti yogam. Some people come, they're asking for devotion. I know that's not what's in their heart. Talking about heart. So I give them mukti and they're super excited. They go off with that. But other devotees come, somehow they become overwhelmed by lingering affinity for the mundane or some distraction. Who can understand divine will? And they're asking me for some mundane thing, but I don't give it to them. But I give them devotion to me. And wow, that's amazing. There's a stage where you're asked, it's opposites. Those asking, they're not getting. Those trying to go away, he won't let go of them. Because they've touched the heart of Krishna. Somehow what they've shown up to that point touched the heart of Krishna. And like in this world, someone who's been touched, they can't let go of someone. If that's true here, then what to speak of there? But then, when the 10th canto comes, well, even in the 9th canto, Krishna is saying, in the Durvasa Ambarish section, like, these devotees who've given up everything for me, how can I give them up, ever? There's a running tally of Yogamaya of what has been sacrificed, how much of the self has been given, how much Krishna's conception has penetrated into the deep heart's core. Pravishta karna randrena svanam bhavam saroruham dunoti shamalam Krishna. Shalyasya yata sharat. The sharat season is coming, or it's on. Krishna karnamritam, Guru Maharaj said, meaning Krishna nectar for the ear. It's how Krishna conception enters the heart. And there was a man, I think his name was Somya Sham, like relative of Guru Maharaj, like, you know, cousin or... In India, it's hard to tell when someone says cousin, brother. But he was a teacher and he would come and talk to Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj, he enjoyed hearing Harikatha very much. So just to sort of get Guru Maharaj going, sometimes he'd go, and Krishna is a thief. And Guru Maharaj would start laughing. Yes, and that is for our benefit, his thieving. He said, because... He said, a thief needs no invitation. Right? It's not like you text someone and say, I'll be out this Friday evening, you can rob me at that time. I'll be back around 1. So you might want to be gone before I return. You don't need to text a thief. He said, a thief enters for his own interest. So he's saying, so our good fortune is Krishna's interested in your heart. And although it would be nice to invite him, he's a thief, he's a notorious thief, he doesn't require an invitation. That's why his devotees, as agents, are devising various ways and means to connect, bring others in connection with Krishna consciousness. So, Kremlin means a fort, right? Or a fortress, correct? Yeah. So, Guru Maharaj said, we've erected a Kremlin around our hearts. The equivalent. I always think of the one in Moscow. But there's another one in... Where is it? In Yaroslavl? Or isn't there a big one? I've been there. I think it was there. Or Novgorod, one of those places.
In Novgorod they have definitely that.
It's like even older or something. Not as big, but it's very old. Novgorod then probably. Yeah. But so he said, we've erected a Kremlin around our heart. We don't want anyone to enter. And we see in this world, people, and women in particular, they realize so many times they thought something was heart to heart and to find out that it's not. So then people become very protective, and rightfully so. The heart is our most valuable possession. Knowledge does not feed the heart. Knowledge does not satisfy the heart. The accumulation of knowledge, the developing of intellect, doesn't do it for the heart. Heart means love, affection, which is demonstrated as being substantial when it's accompanied by self-sacrifice and self-giving, not consumption or exploitation, self-assertion. So, and that's there, and the other, what is, and on top of it all, so we've constructed a Kremlin. Then what does the Bhagavatam say? Bidyate tadarajastamo bhava kamaloba dayastaye cheta itarana vidham stitam sadvay prasidhyan evam, etc. But bidyate hridaya granti. Hridaya means the heart. Granti means like a noose. You know the hangman's noose? Noose. You know when you ever see the rope for a hanging? That type. You see how it, like, it's not going to come off. The noose. So, he's saying, there's a noose, has a stranglehold on our heart, which is what? Lust. Calm. And it's expansions. Consumption. Consumerism. So then, a noose around the heart in the form of calm, and a Kremlin around the heart to protect it from anyone coming in. That's our situation. Like Gurudev would say, this is my situation. That's not his situation. That is our situation. So, what is that heart and what its capacity? One Bengali poet, he said, you know the word culture or cultivate? Is it similar in Russian? Yeah. So, because it means that you plant seeds in the soil and you grow things, right? That's where, I'm not a linguist or an etymologist, but I think this is kind of safe to say. And in India, they still, when you're farming, it's still called cultivation. And when they speak English, they'll say, he's cultivating. I don't know if the British say that, and that's why they say it, or they just say it. But they're talking about, oh, he's cultivating that land. In America, they'd say he's farming. But cultivation. So then, culture. There's some segue here, some similarity between cultivation and culture. And so Guru Maharaj said, this one Bengali poet says, if you cultivate the heart, what sort of fruit or what is it capable of producing? I think it's a very beautiful notion. But then it came to my mind, what sort of seed are you planting in the heart? That will grow. So we're told, Mahaprabhu's teachings of Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadipai Bhakti Lata Bij. Bij means seed. And from Guru, you get the bhakti, the seed of Krishna conception. It's a conceptual seed. What is that seed? It's a conceptual seed infused with love and affection. It's not data. It's not a data transfer. Like, what are they called? Yeah, you have cloud seeding and not... So it's... this concept, the seed. That's why it's important to get from the Vaishnava guru who has some genuine love and affection for Krishna. That seed enters the heart's deep core and begins to grow and develop. Ado, Shraddha, Sarusanga, Dabhajana Kriya, Tatonartha, Nivritisha, Tatonishta, Ruchi, Tata, Tata Bhava, Biyundanshi, Ashakti, Tamo, Bhav. First faith, the conceptual seed, which you also got from Sadhu, actually. So it's like Sadhu before and after. Ado Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha. That leads you to Sadhu Sangha, but where did you get that? From some Sadhu Sangha. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and then they say, do this. This is your bhajan. You practice like that. Then what happens? Anartha Nivritti. You live in the spiritual association. Gradually, anarthas are vanishing. But anartha, gross anarthas, then subtle anarthas. But anartha, also, artha is a word that literally it can be rendered as meaning, means, like the meaning of something. Anartha means misconception. So gradually misconception is being converted into proper conception or Krishna conception. Artha Nivritti, then Nishta. Like, it's interesting, we saw Paramananda and I, we went by the flower market yesterday and saw the water lilies and like many, many different types of flowers. But you know what they call, and again, in English, as Gurudev would say something, I am Englishman. He said that about Lalita once. She is Englishman. Meaning she speaks English. She is English, man. So, it's called a nursery. That's where you keep the newly seeded plants, is in a nursery. Why? Like the babies, because if they go out of the nursery, they're not going to survive. They need to grow for some time in the nursery, get like extreme care and very controlled conditions. And then when they've grown and developed and learned to survive, then they can be transferred to soil. It's similar to that. That is nishta. It becomes now deep root. It's taken root. It's not something superficial. It's taken root or become deeply rooted. Nishta. Just like the roots. You can see these creepers out here on the wall of the temple, the ones that are taking root. That when, as soon as you see that, see, it's the same thing with the devotee. When you see that, you can envision what's going to happen. Right? They're going to go up the wall, and then they're going to grab the post in some instances, or the lotus. We can see that's going to happen. That's inevitable. It's something like that. So when they see the Bhakti Lata is growing and developing, they know where it goes. So they're very happy, the Guru Varga, to see that. And sometimes engage in Ruchi Pariksha, examining that. Because when it's there, Ashakti, I said Nishta. Next? Oh, Ruchi. Taste. And Guru said, not this sometimes light, you know, like tasting and then sometimes, not like that. Deep, consistent taste. Ruchi, then that, then ashakti. Now, the right type of, you're attached to this, you're going to protect that. That's why the genuine devotees, they will never advertise their devotion because they know that will, you'll lose everything. So those who are making an ostentatious display of achievement, they don't have anything. They're cheaters. The real devotees would rather be thought of as having nothing to protect what they have. because it can be withdrawn at any time. It's a merciful extension, can be withdrawn at any moment by offenses and other things. Ashakti, bhav. Then bhav, bhava bhakti means the ankur, means that the bhakti lata bij, which was a seed, then it sprouted and grew as a creeper, and then what? It's flowering now. And we're told that that state, that means that the devotion of that particular, of that devotee, has a particular aroma, metaphorically speaking, that Krishna finds delightful and enchanting. Think about that. Now, that's when the infinite is the beginning of being captured. Saying, oh, the fragrance of this devotion is sweet and irresistible. And we see, then they're capable of making devotional expression. And I talked about before, composition, bhav, then prem, and then the stages of prem after that. So why was I saying this?
Bhaktilata Bish, the sort, seed cultivating.
Oh, right, what the heart can produce. So knowing that, see, that's why Krishna is a thief. Because he may realize, this could take a long time. I'll be deprived of that valuable substance that their heart is capable of producing. So Guru Maharaj said, a thief, and that Swami Sam would sit there and laugh. Guru Maharaj would say, he requires no invitation. Stealthily he will enter for his own concern. So he's saying, that's our good fortune. Krishna will enter, and how does it happen? Krishna Karnamritam, Krishna nectar for the ear. Through the ear it goes into the heart. That's why sound, the sound we listen to is very important. So Srila Saraswati Thakur, when he was giving Harinam to someone who'd been a spy in the war a few years before, so knowing that the man was a spy by occupation, even spies can be Krishna conscious. When I first went to Russia, I met some very nice KGB ladies. Actually, one of them told me, she said, oh, I have a friend who's into yoga. And I said, she said, she will love this book. The KGB lady. Is that okay? No, because that's the, now it's a new organization. They would never do something, you know, like this. She was in Maya. I mean, KGB Maya, which is okay. But really, she like, why can't they also appreciate these things? This man was a spy. That was his occupation. I learned that. Many nice people were spies for various reasons. So this man was like that. He wanted to be a devotee. No, you know, stane stita shrutikatam tanaban manovya, whatever your situation is. When you express appreciation for hearing, what you've heard of Krishna conception, you begin to make your approach. So Saraswati Thakur, knowing the man was a spy, became inspired to give a military type example. And he said, Krishna should be allowed to land in your heart the way that the Navy brings the army to the shore. Like we've all seen the famous pictures where the soldiers are on the boat and then they get on the shore and the door comes down and they run out of the boat. And what do? One soldier's carrying the flag and they plant it in the soil. And then gradually they start gaining more and more ground and taking the flag with and claiming that. So he said, that's how Krishna should be. He should be allowed to land in the heart through the medium of sound Then he plants his flag in the heart and says, I declare to everyone, I am the sole owner, possessor of this heart, and I won't tolerate any lien holders. And then Krishna conception starts capturing that valuable, most valuable soil until he at last captures the whole heart. Then, bidite hridaya granti chit, because he already got over the wall through the Kremlin. Now you see the heart still knotted. It's in the noose of kam, hridrogam. Then Krishna conception cuts that noose that has a stranglehold on the heart in the form of kam, and then the heart's real flow is released. That's why all these conceptions of heart before that are like, you know, hridabhas, if there is such a thing, like a shadow representation of the heart. It's not what we're really capable of. Because that knot has to be loosed first, then to release the natural flow of heart. Bhava grahi janardana. And Krishna's addicted to that substance. That is truly amazing. Because, in other words, like Krishna would say, oh, it's very good for all of you to have some connection with me. He says this, and when he meets with the Braja Gopis at Kurukshetra, saying, for the karmis, jnanis, yogis, it's very good. They get connection with me. It's like you won the lottery. I get it. I get that. But then Krishna's speaking candidly and saying, what about me? Like, you think I just enjoy like being the supreme controller? Like people in this world, they want to be in charge. If your default position is Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchitananda Vigraha. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the first verse of the Brahma Sangita. But it's kind of his default position. But Krishna saying to the Braja Gopis, but who is that ultimate controller? It's Govinda. Not another name with Govinda. It's saying, you know, that gives you a hint. Govinda is the cowherd, but also go means the senses. One who gives fulfillment to the senses. What does it mean? Like, he's going to give you some really nice stuff to eat, drink, and see, take you on a tour of the spiritual world. You know, kind of blow your mind, show you, you know, look, here's Virata Rupa, woo. You know. No, he is that. Srutva gunan bhuvana sundara srinvatam te. He's the most beautiful thing in the world, beyond what you could ever imagine. When we see someone who's so beautiful in this world, they have an expression they say, it's usually about women, but they say like, she is painfully beautiful. Like, to look at someone that beautiful, like it causes some sort of pain in your heart, but you can't stop looking. So they go, she's painfully beautiful. Like these verses, slogans from the gopis, they're saying, the beautiful women of this world, or in praise of the gopis, the most beautiful women in the heavenly planets, they don't compare to the beauty of Radharani and the Braja gopis. But that young Shyama Sundaram, you know, what is it? Vishesha Shobham, young Shyama Sundaram Achintaguna Sarupam, that's one. But the inconceivable beauty of Krishna. So Govinda, just by that name there, that means that the supreme controller, the Anadi Adi or Govinda, Sarvakarna Karanam Govinda, he's the full spectral range of sensual possibility, the personification to an infinite degree of the most beautiful thing to see, hear, touch, taste, smell, feel, the total sensual experience is Krishna. But because people think God is something abstract or remote or impersonal or paternalistic, it's not possible to have an intimate relationship, then the conclusion is, even if you're a theist or whatever, Prabhupada deals with this in the beginning, first is explanation, first canto of Bhagavatam, first sloka, referencing Vishwanath. It indirectly gives impetus to mundane eros because people, it's inconceivable. We're talking about the naughty absolute, what to speak of other things that, so, but if someone becomes awakened to this prospect, and realizes the implications. That's why Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya, Sambandha Gyan's deity must be Madan Mohan. It's not arbitrary. Jayatam Surato Pango Mama Manda Madharakati Matsarvasva Padambojo Sri Radha Madana Mohano. Why? Because Madan, Cupid, everyone is in the thrall of Cupid in this world. Or we're told, Madan, Mohan, how beautiful is Krishna? Cupid's bewildered. And then, Kandar, and that's the verse I'm going to say, Kandar Pakoti Kamini, and how many? How seductive? Like equal to Cupid, or like five times as seductive and charming as Cupid? No one says, Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya. Koti means 10 million. And that's just because the brain doesn't go further than that. So it's saying 10 million times more seductive than... Wait a minute. We're experiencing pain on the base of seductive charm, the erotic principle, and this is where you're saying there's a personality who's 10 million times more beautiful, seductive, sweet, and charming than that? Oh my God. Yes, that's correct. That's our God. My God. But God is like insult term. Doesn't convey this. Right? We have to become familiar with Krishna conception. Saraswati Thakur preferred Godhead to just the God. But, so, why was I saying that?
The total sensual experience is Krishna.
Yes, but you have to go back.
Govinda,
before
the ultimate controller, Krishna, that
control
descends on the land of our heart and plants the flag.
Yeah, but about, I said people in this world like to be controllers. He's under the control of Radharani and Vrajaga. Oh, Madan Mohan. Yeah. Then, as Gaurav said, so Madan Mohan being the Sabandhigyan deity of Sanatana Goswami, and as much as it's saying, he breaks the stranglehold that lust has on the heart, and Madan. So then you think, like, what Gaurav is telling us, because it goes Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopinath, is that it's through inference indicating this possibility, eros, or what Sanyal under the order of Saraswati Thakur represented as the erotic principle in unalloyed devotion. But so, when Krishna, and I said, what's in it for Krishna, he wants to know. When he sees Radharani and the Braja Gopis in Kurukshetra, Hus Chate Nalina Nava Padara Vinde Yogeshware Hridi Vichanda Magada Bodhe Sangsara Kupa Patito Taranava Lambam Geham Jisam Api Manasi Suryat Sadana Radharani is saying very cryptically, we're not, you know, yogis, jnanis, coming to you because we, you know, we've sinned and now we need you to save us from our the impending suffering from as the consequence of sinful activity, sinful reactions. Or jnanis, we're to know this, that, and the other thing. Like the Samkhya, counting. Someone said, quality gives us relief from mathematics. So, or yogis, you know, going to meditate on you, and we wish we could get you out of our heart. That is our problem. Not like meditating on you. It's a problem that we have. So what do we want? We're just fallen householder gopi girls, but we want family life, but we want to have that with you. That is our aspiration. And not with Dwaraka Krishna. Thank you very much. Gopa Vesh, Venukar, Gopa Kishore, Natavar, Narali, Lahoy, Anurup. And Krishna is saying, Mayi Bhakti Aributanam Amitottaya Kalpate Distya Madasin Matsneho Bhavatinam Madapana. Saying, yes, you're right. These karmis, if they get connection with me, they go, we're saved. We got salvation. Whew. Just in time. Some heavy karma was coming down. A hard rains are going to fall. Right? We're not jnanis. We're not Aki. Everyone knows, you know. As Maharaj once said, we're silly jungle girls. Uncivilized, he said. Silly, uncivilized jungle girls. And they're the highest. Above the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha and the queens of Dwaraka. Disguised as silly, uncivilized jungle girls. In the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, write the greatest books on philosophy, on rasa, tattva, and all these other things. So Krishna's saying, yes, it's true. What they all say is true. They get connection with me, they hit the lottery. Yam labdva chapram labhan manyate nadikam tataha. Said, but I feel myself fortunate that I'm the object of your love and affection. The type of love you have in your heart, you know, I promised, napareham niravadi samyam, I promised in the Gita that I would reciprocate it. I admit, I lied. I can't, or I have to break my promise. Because the type of love you have in your heart for me is so, I don't know, what could I give to you? Even if I give myself to you fully, infinite comes under the control of the finite, it wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be equal to what you're giving to me. That's what he tells them. Then Radharani says, all right, we can go back to Vrindavan now. Just checking. He'll be back in a few days. We own control him. It's clear. We've heard it now from himself. Some sort of bizarre misfortune has taken him away from us for a while. He'll be back soon. Let's go. They asked this queen, say, but we've heard about the Rasa Leela. We'd like to see that. Nandarani, all right. They have Rasa Leela for them, and they're all astonished to see those pastimes. And what does Radharani say to them? The queens of Dwarka and all the others, she said, you should see the original. But that we can only do in Vrindavan. It has to be in Vrindavan, banks of the Jumna, and the other factors there where the Lord is inseparable from his paraphernalia. So, to conclude, so Krishna had to break his promise, then what to do? The love of the Brajagopis is so great, he can't, even giving himself is not equal. As I said in the beginning, that the finite will get the infinite for what we're talking about. That's not fair. But here, He's saying, if I give myself to them fully, it's not enough. Then what to do? I had to break my promise, promised in the Gita. Now I can't keep my promise. Guru Maharaj comes to our relief with the answer. And it's so consistent with everything he says. And we perhaps he extracted from Rupa Goswami's Chaitanyastakam, we get a hint there, and might be in the line that begins Sureshanam Durgam Gati Ati Shayeno Upanishadam Muninam Sarvasvam Panatapatanyam Madhurima Vinyar Yasha Pala Palambuna, Palambuna, something. Where just to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kimme Punar Pridashor Yashatibadam Pashu Palas. That they're observing that Krishna has become Radharani's canvasser as Mahaprabhu. Now he is covered. So, you know, what is he left to do but to aparam kasyapi pranay janamrindasyu kutuki? It arouses the curiosity in him. What is it like to be her? I can't. It's beyond what I can understand theoretically, but what does it feel like? What is when she's seeing me or tasting my name and what that the ecstasy she experienced? I want to experience that. Then he descends into this world, and what does he tell? Jadigorna hoita tabike hoita kamari daritam de radhar mahima prema rasasima jagata janata ke. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidushovana Eva. He's telling the world about the type of Krishna Prem that she alone possesses. And we can understand through extension her servitors. Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita. Enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani, he's come canvassing on her behalf, telling everyone in the world how great she is and her consciousness, which is otherwise known as Krishna consciousness. She's Krishna consciousness personified, acknowledged by Krishna, Chaitanya, Dev, Mahaprabhu. So Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur advises Asta Sagitunga Vidya. Yata yata gora padara vinde vindeta bhaktim krita punyarasi Tatata tot sarpati hridyakasmat radha padam bodha sudambu burasi. Just constant, because you say, oh, then I want to go there. How? Give all your attention to lotus feet at the service of Guru and Gauranga, Gora Padara Vinde. And then Guru said, what? He gave different. One, he said, like in you get on this elevator and then you get off, you're on the top floor of the building. You went through the other, like the Padma, you put the needle through 1,000 lotus petals. Or he said, or you get on a plane, like Lalita did, you get on a plane in America, get off, you're in Thailand. Right? Enter one place, and then you're there. Or he said, you put the coin in the machine, and the ticket counts out the other side. He said, so you put your coin, that means you're serving capital in the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga, and you get your ticket to enter Vrindavan. Radha Padambo Jasudamburasi. He said, the Radha Rasa Shuddho Nidhi begins to flow in one's heart, and they spring out of the soil in Vrindavan. So Gaur Leela is the entrance to Krishna Leela. Navadvip, as Guru said, every atom of Navadvip is capable of giving Vrindavan in full. And the Nam Sankirtan of Mahaprabhu is the Rasa Leela and distribution mode. What sacrifice would be appropriate for the aforementioned? Hare Krishna.